Hello and welcome to episode number 45 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
I'm so excited for this episode. You're excited too, based on what you're wearing. I don't know if the folks can see it. But
it's like, it's like when you go to a concert and you wear that band's t-shirt at the concert.
Yeah.
You wear the band's t-shirt at the
concert. With the band.
Yes.
As you, for folks who can see, to my right, Barry Hauser, Professor Barry Hauser, director of the Marching Illini. Yeah. And we've been wanting to have this episode for a while.
Yes.
Now that things have somewhat calmed down, Barry's available. So you're wearing a Marching Illini shirt for the devotees of the podcast. They will remember that, was it our first episode or a very early episode? How many sports, college sports podcasts will talk college sports and principal tubists?
Yes.
Of symphonies.
Yep. That's right. Gene Precorning.
Yep.
So
that's right. That's right. Well, although he's like a technically a Northwestern professor, we shouldn't talk about
it. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, we thread the needle here in in our micro niche.
Yeah, that's right.
But so excited to have maybe one of the most visible members of athletics.
I don't know.
Audible, at least.
That's right. That's right.
So welcome into episode number 45 with our special guest, Barry Hauser. Before we get going, what do?
We got to light the eye.
All right. I had to bring this. Maze, I don't know if you can get a little zoom in on this. See this here?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. 1999. Where am I, Robert?
You are at the MicronPC.com Bowl.
Yep. And
with your wife, right?
Yeah, my girlfriend at the time.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we were actually already dating. She played piccolo in the Marching Illini. I played flugelhorn. Yes. Professor Hauser, because they used to march the flugelhorns.
I know. Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Back in my day.
Back in my day, yeah.
You probably get a few of those in my day.
Few plus, yes.
Here's the thing, because there's nothing like nothing says tradition more about your school than the marching band. So when you change something.
Yeah.
When you don't march flugelhorns, I don't know anybody was upset that you didn't march flugelhorns anymore.
And wasn't that I was anti-flugelhorn. It's just they didn't work.
I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. Again, I come from a low brass family. My dad played the tuba.
This is what everyone's tuning in for.
Really, they are. So let's talk the great flugelhorn decision.
Most people are like, what the hell's a flugelhorn?
That's right. Yeah, maybe we should start there. Start there. Okay, a 7-minute history on the euphonium. Go.
Yeah, right.
A flugelhorn is a trumpet that can't get louder than mezzo forte. That's what it is.
Right.
It's a more mellow, colorful, conical instrument, and you hear it a lot in jazz.
How many?
And apparently in marching bands for a time.
How many flugels used to march? What was the number?
It was the third trumpets.
Okay.
Yep.
The third trumpets marching. You want me to just do this episode?
No, you got it. Well, you know what better than I do. Because some guy decided to get rid of him when he got hired here. So,
what, for uniformity of color and everything?
I just wanted instruments to work.
Anyway, yes. Well, back in two years in the band,
awesome.
And it was great. Now, I was one of those music majors, mm-hmm. music ed majors who didn't have time. I know there's some music ed majors, but one of the things that I love about the Marching Illini is it's a great outlet. What percentage do you think of the band is a music major?
Yeah, right now it's probably between 15% and 20%
yeah.
are music majors.
So
the other 80 to 85% are going to be non-majors from across campus.
Yeah,
and a lot of engineers.
Yeah, and it's an outlet for them to keep playing and to be a part of the whole thing that's going on.
Yeah.
What a year. You guys have
this
had.
Year. It has been.
I was trying to think of some of the highlights for the Marching Illini. Mm-hmm. Now, look, we could go deep. There's this whole world that you operate in symphonic bands, and you got Super State coming up and everything like that. But your most visible side of things is Marching Illini. This side of things, you were on Big Noon Kickoff. Mm-hmm. You did a show with REO Speedwagon. You played in the snow.
Snow Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
With the sousaphones collecting snow on their bell fronts.
They played on Broadway in Nashville, like in the middle of the street, on the place where everybody wants to be on stage and play a gig.
Was this Macy's year or is that coming up?
Macy's is coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Then somehow, you had the bowl trip and then the Big Ten tournament and NCAA postseason runs.
Yep.
And in between, you took a band to Ireland.
Yeah.
And now the cherry on top is being unlike the eye.
Yes. Right. It's been a build-up all the way to this.
That's right.
It's so funny. Brad Underwood said something similar.
See? Smart guy. Yep. Smart guy.
What was it that, what was the highlight of all of this for you? I mean, I know it's hard to say, but you have taken students around the world this year and to so many different destinations during the basketball run and the bowl game. What do you think is the highlight? What sticks out to you?
Boy, it is difficult. I mean, I think part of it, I've shared with our students that there, and this is not because of just the success of athletics, but I'm like, there will not be a time like this possibly ever again. Mm-hmm. When you look at what our freshmen, this is their first experience and they're thinking, well, this is what it always is like.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, let's get used to this. But, you know, the fact that Ireland happens every 4 years and then Macy's is coming up in November, we will never have anything like this to where you've got that bowl game experience, the run of both men's and women's and NCAA, the trip to Ireland, Macy's, all of those things. It's just, it's never going to happen like that ever again. So, you know, live in the moment, be present is a big part of that. I think the other part that has been, there's probably two sides for our students. Obviously the bowl trip, those that were on the Final Four were just huge things for the students to experience. I was talking with a guy that does a similar thing that I do at North Carolina. And, you know, their basketball program, they kind of know how to do the whole Final Four thing.
Sure,
And looking at that, and he said, Barry, more than anything, just make sure that you enjoy this as well. Because there's not a lot of us that get to have this type of experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of like took me by surprise. I'm like, what is he talking about? And then you get there and, you know, to show up to the open practice and see all of that orange in Lucas Oil. And I'm like, we have all lived through some dark times.
Yes.
And I remember a number of times where we didn't have a lot of people showing up to games and you still put your supportive face on and you go out there and you play as best as you can to support the team. But it just was one of those moments for me personally and in my career. It's just like, This is what it's all about. And no matter what happens, and I know there are people disappointed with the outcome, but like we've got to look at it from the perspective of look at this journey and look at this team that was so much fun to play, to watch play. And then I just, you know, we talked about this a little bit, just seeing coaches' genuine enjoyment and joy throughout the season. I was elated for him. I looked forward to every press conference that he shared, just because of what he was thinking in that moment. And that's just awe inspiring. And whether you're an academic or whether you're, you know, a sports fan or hopefully both, it was a really proud moment to see University of Illinois on a national stage like that. So
you've done just about everything in your career, but Final Four, was that a first?
That was my first. Yeah.
What stood out to you about that in particular and bringing a band to a Final Four versus even Elite Eights?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, we talked about this with our students and the Elite Eight, Sweet 16 in Houston. You know, it was, in a way, it was kind of like a vacation to where, hey, we got a game, but we got all this free time. And I took the band to a Houston Astros game because we had a day off. And, you know, college students are great, but they get bored. And so we need to do something. So we went and did that. When we got to the Final Four, it was a business trip. It was a business trip, but it was an enjoyable business trip. There was just, it was a whole nother level of events, of expectations, how you would do things. You know, the video shoot that we did with before we went into the Final Four game was just a cool experience for the band to have that experience. You know, you expect that of our athletes, have those things, but for them to have that similar experience, But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of work that went into that.
So to take you back in the history, I showed you the picture from 1999. That was to the MicronPC.com bowl game. You're probably well aware of this.
Yep.
For those of us who are in that band, Robert, do you know this story? Like, Illinois is going to the bowl for the first time in forever, it seems. Mm-hmm. You know,
94 to 99.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Going to a bowl, and it's a good year. Mm-hmm. You know, Kurt Kittner's breakout year, mm-hmm. and everything. Going to a bowl. We come into the Harding Band Building for a meeting. We're all packed in there. And I don't remember if it was Dr. Kneva or Dr. Keene, but somebody got up and said, we're not going.
Oh, yeah I do remember this. Yes. Yeah.
That whoever in the higher up positions, and it's not here to retread, but just said, we don't have the funds. And there was some pushback from, I think, band alumni, from band parents, certainly from the students that were in it. And the decision was reversed. Okay, you're going, but you're all busing.
Yeah.
So we bused 24 hours to Miami, which for college students isn't that bad.
Yeah.
For me, I'd be like, I'll be flying that. Yeah. See you later.
Yeah.
All that to say, like, I think things have come a long way.
Yeah.
And since then, where I don't think that's a question anymore, and it seems like the partnership that exists now between athletic bands, Marching Illini, and the DIA is way different, and I think that's great to see.
Yeah, it really is, and I think part of that, you know, as we all know, these things are cultivated; they just don't happen. But it happens a lot easier when you've got some pretty phenomenal people that want to see this big picture of what we want this experience to be like. Not just for the athletes, but for the fans. And I think that's just such a big part of it. The fact that we can truly do what we do and be the soundtrack of Illinois athletics, it's a pretty phenomenal thing. But that doesn't happen without support from folks in DIA. And, of course, that starts with Josh, as we know. But there's a lot of folks that we work with directly that are just phenomenal. And I've seen that team. You know, you see a lot of revolving doors in our work here at the university. But seeing some of those folks that come in that will take us to the next level, and, you know, we see some departures right now. It's like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do this? And then you hear some of these announcements of people coming in.
Sure.
Right? And I won't name names specifically, but it's just a testament to we are in a different ball game than where we were 15 years ago.
Yep.
Maybe even 10 years ago. And so to see all of this success – yes, on the court, on the field is one thing, but just the culture that we are coming to expect and experience, it's exciting.
And I want to note that on these trips, that part has even grown. So in Houston, the band came to, what was it, Tom's Bar or whatever. There's that little escalator outside set up, you know, they're setting up the drum kit down at the base of the escalator, and, you know, all the students are standing on the stairs or on the balcony above. You got a mob of at least 1,000 Illini fans there, you know, before the Elite Eight game with this. They're playing the school song, everybody's singing. Like, that level of thing, I've had the website 17 years. That level of thing in the last 5 years has increased. Like, people looking for, is the band coming, this and that. Just this idea of school spirit, and the band's going to show up at the official watch party, and they're going to play the school song, and everybody's going to have tears in their eyes and everything else. That has all risen along with the success of the teams.
Absolutely.
Absolutely has. And credit to you for building that culture, because it has been amazing to watch from the outside.
It's an important part, right? And I think we all see that bigger picture of what we can do that I'll be the first to say, if we didn't have football here, I don't think we would have the Marching Illini, even though the Marching Illini started before the football program did, but let's be realistic. And so it's like, what is our purpose? What is our mission? Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes some folks in my position throughout the country fail to remember. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bigger picture with all of this. But I think, you know, to your point, one example, and again, I hesitate to share, but I share this because these are things I don't necessarily think about in terms of how big this is, but we're going to the Final Four, and they said, yeah, we think that you all are going to need some type of police presence. And I'm like, what? Yes. Like, what? Why do we need police presence?
It's Elvis.
It's right. Yes, right.
That's right.
And then, some people don't know you don't mess with the band.
Right? That's right.
And then we get there, and I realize, oh, my gosh, thank goodness we've got some police presence.
Yes.
Yes. Just a number of people coming into the hotel, hanging out, and waiting for the team. And it got crazy.
Yep.
In a lot of good ways, but there's some, yeah.
Hey, when I was in the band, there was some article that came out, I think in Sports Illustrated, and the writer wrote a line and said, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the business end of a flugelhorn. I don't know what the context was, but it was in Sports Illustrated. So that was kind of a rallying cry. Like, you don't want to be on the business end.
Business end, yeah.
You don't want to be on the business end of the band. I don't, you know, also, don't mess with the band.
Don't mess with the band. Yeah.
This is maybe things coming to an end for this academic year and in the sports season, but you don't just show up in August and go, okay, what are we gonna do for some half times? Like, what is being done now ish that will that we will see and hear in at homecoming, for example?
I think in a lot of ways, and in talking with a lot of our coaches, our lives and paths to what we do are pretty parallel. You know, I think a lot of people think that the band's just in the band room in uniform and we're ready. Give us a call and we're going to show up and go, right? This takes time as well. We don't have a transfer portal, so I guess we rely on some of the same people that have this experience to come back and hopefully contribute in a bigger way. So even after this today, I've got an hour student leadership development meeting with our new leaders. And so that's starting already, because all of that communication, all of that cultivating of expectations is going to be taking place over the summer. We don't have a band yet. So, you know, this is something for people to think about, too. Like, just like any athletic team, you have to try out. And so when we look at this right now, we're just north of 700 new video auditions that came in for this year's band. And we have about 300 students returning. So our pool of candidates, and I know people out there are like, well, why don't you just take everybody? That would be great, but also not.
Writing drill for
700. And, you know, just the money that would entail. So going through all of those videos, our drumline set, the alignettes are set, the guard is set, our section leaders are set, but the woodwinds and brass, I'm working through all those videos right now. And with May 1 being the deadline for the university, and there's some folks that are on a wait list, so we're waiting on those wait list confirmations to be taken care of as well. So
so
we're literally building the band right now.
One of the things we like about where we are here in the Armory is these are pretty thick walls, but right outside here, when the weather's warm enough, we have heard through our headphones, these microphones,
darn
we've heard the drum line working.
Percussion, drum line, and that dang Drummers. Dr. Beat with their speaker.
Love it.
Yep.
No, it warms our hearts. Because A, it means the weather's warm enough.
Yep.
And B, it's the sounds of you know, the marching Illini and all the things that go with that.
Yeah.
You still warm up in the Armory?
We still, and part of that's history. You know, our history dates back to being under military science here in 1868. So as we know, Illinois Industrial University opened up in 1867, and the first several students started the first beginnings of Illinois bands that spring semester. And the whole purpose was to basically play for military review for ROTC. And athletics was under military science. There wasn't a school of music or anything like that. So a big part of that is we don't talk about this a lot. We don't proclaim this a lot. And it's not because we're embarrassed. It's just this is who we are. And so very adamant about making sure every game day we start in the Armory to kind of tip of the hat to our history.
I had no idea.
Yep.
I just thought, well, it's a space right next to the band building that can hold everybody.
Yep.
It's got a dual purpose.
Got a dual purpose.
That, yeah.
In many ways, it'd be a lot more convenient just to meet at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll have practice in the stadium, walk back to the band building to eat lunch at 9 in the morning sometimes. Not a lot of those these days, which is great. Then go back for Illini walk and then walk back in the Armory just to be able to parade and do march out to the stadium.
I'm curious how many... I bet people don't really know the history of we'll call it the marching arts, is in military.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge drum corps fan. You and I have talked about this before. I'm sure you have a bunch of students heading off to various drum corps this summer and everything else. And that was a VFW activity. I mean, it was straight. It grew out of VFW military. The Marines still have a drum corps, drum and bugle corps, and all of that. And that's really the history of, I mean, when you think of Revolutionary War and the fife and drum and all that kind of stuff, there's a thread that leads from that to the marching Illini at halftime. And I don't think people really fully know that.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point. And that's why there are certain elements that you will see both on the visual side of the uniform itself. This last uniform that we did a couple years ago has a piece of the uniform that has been here since that first one back in 1868. Mm. And so, it looks so modern, but you'll see there's a Illini on the shoulder that will be that remnant that was there from that uniform, and the buttons going down the center, looking very much like that military jacket that ROTC wore at that time. So there's a lot that we, have updated. I know, got rid of flugelhorns, but there's a lot that we really hold on to as well, just for our, again, to use the term again, tip of the hat to our history and how far we've come, and also how far history we go back to and continue to attach to.
You know, while we're talking about it, I'm guessing a lot of people probably don't, like the general public, maybe people who attend football games know this. Talk about the cape thing and the flipping the cape thing. Just because some people probably don't know about it.
I think there's a lot of things that, I hear this a lot, right? Like, we don't have any traditions. I'm like, actually, we have a lot of traditions. Yeah. We just don't talk about it a lot. But the cape, if you've ever seen the marching line with the cape, when you see them marching to the stadium and throughout the game, you're going to see the orange cape in the back. And if it looks like we're going to win that game and there's maybe 2 or 3 minutes left, I know Josh sometimes, now he knows. And if he starts to hear something, he like gives me the eye. I'm like, careful, careful, yes. not yet.
Don't jinx it.
Right. But, when we see that we're going to win, then I will tell the band, hey, man, you know what time it is? Flip those capes. And so if there's ever a big play and like we're not playing, we're look over in the north end zone and you'll see that we're flipping that cape. And then on the back side of that, it's white. So then on the way out of the stadium, it's a white cape. And then the logo on that white cape is actually different, too. It's the interlocking, intertwining UI logo, which is, again, history, tip to our history.
Tradition. Yep. Yes. Yes. And one might say that lighting the eye when we win is also intertwined with all of this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's right up there with the traditions that go back to 1868.
Go back to 1868 or a certain fire truck that's been doing it since 2023.
I don't know which one is bigger part of the history. Right now, we're going to attach things. We're going to wait for the eye to be lit, and that will signify then when we flip the cape.
There you go. I'm going to bring that to my seat and just hang it there right above you. Yes. That's perfect. Sorry, man. Now my brain's going crazy. We had some of the trombones showed up. It wasn't the Northwestern game, the game before that, and they were on top of the fire engine, and they did the, what's the
bone cheer? And
so the Go Fight Win or whatever the cheer is. So I'm pretty much going to request that every game now. So make this my official request that a couple trombones just show up and fire up that corner on lot 31. Okay, thank you.
Love it.
They could have helped corral the cow, by the way. They would.
Oh,
they
my gosh, to those right? Sounds.
That was right across the street.
Right across the street.
Hey. From the band building.
You want to start a new tradition?
Yep.
Just bring Oski a cow out.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Speaking of traditions that might change, South End Zone's getting a little makeover there with a huge new scoreboard and all that. Is that going to affect the exit? What's that?
I don't think it's going to affect the exit so much.
After the game.
After the game, yeah.
There's still a way out there.
Who knows, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right now, no news of that.
Okay.
But I will give, you'll be the first to hear publicly.
Scoop.
We are revamping a little bit of that opening entrance. First of all, as we all know, I apologize for how long it takes to get the band through the tunnel onto the field. But here's the part that we all know. We probably have one of the longest lengths of distance from the ramp or from the tunnel to the end zone.
Yes.
So that's
Robert has
of it.
Mapped it and put it on his social media before.
Yep. 6 yards. Continue.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So part of that, when the band intro video plays on this massive 17,000 square foot video board, we're actually going to do some collaboration with the video board to get the band out on the field and also interact with the video board. And the video board will help truly kick off the opening to pregame.
Awesome.
So I'll leave it there, and we hope that it is an enhancement for sure.
When I back in my day, we came into revised entrance number three. Nobody ever showed me number one or number two, so this will be a revised entrance again. That was the name of the first notes that were performed
music,
pregame.
Music-wise, it's still the same, and I know there's a lot of strong feelings about that, and I agree. That first note of revise, which is By the Rivers Gently Flowing, Illinois State song, like, I love that, but it is difficult. Part of it, we didn't want to change the drill that went with that. Mm-hmm. So we worked on the front end just to get us down to that spot so we can maintain that tradition there. But yeah, so music, it's all going to be the same. It's just we're going to crunch down that amount of time that it takes to get the band on the field.
Okay, so we hear these songs, we sing these songs at the Marching in Line, I Speaking Tradition. And I wonder if you could give us just the 30-second cliff notes of what this song is, where did it come from, why we sing or play it.
Yeah.
Illinois Loyalty
was the first original school song for the university in 1906. And so it was brought forth by some students, like most of our music was. And if I can, I'm going to skip ahead slightly. So 1906, that was introduced, but it wasn't peppy enough for the university, which is why Oskiwawa was introduced in 1911, which is why we play. And so I will always refer to Illinois Loyalty as our school song, and Oskiwawa is our fight song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is a technical difference.
We have probably made it too much so, but then that way we know a little bit of our history. But it really was because Illinois Loyalty was too slow and people didn't get too excited about it and they wanted something more rah-rah. So that's why Oskiwawa was composed.
Okay, then the alma mater.
Alma mater, Hail to the Orange. Yeah. It actually, again, introduced by some students here back in the early days, and there were some different lyrics to it, just like we had different colors back then as well. You know, orange and blue wasn't adopted until later on. So that is, again, another element right there, that lyrics, music, all composed by students here.
Wow. Let's see. Oh, and what am I missing? Illinois March.
Illinois March. Yeah, that was another one that was composed.
This is in the 3-1.
This is Illinois March actually is Goldman, not
Edwin
Sousa.
Franco.
So at that time period, the 1920s, all the attention was really on the University of Illinois. So composers were writing music for the University of Illinois. So a lot of folks don't get to hear Illinois March. It is what we play to the stadium when we're marching from the armory.
Yeah.
And it does have lyrics, which was introduced by Guy Duker, whose grandson is the band director at Waubonsie Valley High School, who's retiring after 33 years of teaching this year.
And I have one more question.
Yeah.
What is, and again, I'm a former drumline guy in high school, so the cadence. Who wrote the cadence, and how long has it been the cadence?
Yes. Well, a local guy here now, Russ Weber, wrote a good portion of the actual parade cadence. The first part that you hear is called Long, and he's the one that first introduced that. It was kind of a controversial time, because when Gary came on board, there was a percussion professor here, and Gary basically said, we don't need your services anymore, to the percussion professor, and realized he had a really talented student in the band, drummer, and wrote really well, and said, hey, can we do this? And it has been with us. So what's interesting, he was in the corporate world for a long time, came back, moved to Mahomet. He's been here for many years, and now he's working with the drumline at Mahomet Seymour High School.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Still comes out and supports the drumline and massive ways. So
that is great.
Yep.
That is great.
Our producer Maisie is back there behind the monitors. This is actually her last show. We celebrated her last show. On our last episode, we celebrated her. She's going to go be covering the Hawkeyes. But we're not holding that against her.
Sorry.
A little sports journalism.
I know.
But go ahead, Maisie.
Yeah. Well, first of all, huge fan. I've told you this before, but my roommate's in the Illini, so part of the band. So a fun fact about me, I think I've told all of you guys before, but my 21st birthday present from her was a signed headshot of Barry Houser that says, yes. Happy birthday, Maisie.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Maisie, I'm sorry.
No, I awesome. Love it. Sorry. I asked awesome. For it. I was, yeah. I kind of said it as a joke. Like in my time in school, I want a signed picture of Barry Houser.
Yeah.
And I did not expect her to deliver that soon. So thank you for that.
Is it on the wall right now in your apartment? Where?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a...
Part of your NIL deal?
Yeah, we have a whole Illini shrine area of excellent. Things we've collected throughout perfect. The years, and that is
perfect.
Right there. Perfect. I meant to take a picture before I left, but totally
well,
blamed.
Before you go and visit our Hawkeye friends, I've got a great colleague there, Dr. Eric Bush. So before you go, I want to make sure that I get you set up. This was not my idea. This was the NIL store and our friends at Campus Inc. There's a Barry Houser is my dad t-shirt or sweatshirt.
No way.
So I'll make sure that I get you one of those before you go.
That would be amazing.
Okay. All right.
I would absolutely love that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Game on. Game
what's
on.
The origin of that?
It is not me.
Well, I know. For those yeah. who don't know, in one of the Stan songs,
yeah.
there's
during,
a chant.
Is it during Runaway Baby?
Runaway Baby.
Yeah.
Barry Houser is my dad.
Barry Houser is my dad.
I still don't know how to respond to that.
There had to be an a first when that
yeah.
happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's like all things in the band, and yeah. it's like, you know, telepathically, they all just like get on this, you know.
I mean, Crush says it.
They do. They
I'm
do.
Sitting in front of Crush every basketball
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
They
but
say
like, yeah, it started, it filled in right there, and it just, it has stayed.
Well.
So, I don't know.
It just goes to show, I mean.
I don't even know how to respond to it.
After probably a couple of head coaches, you might be the most visible person
yeah,
with this university.
It's, I'm sorry.
There was a, I think it was in Houston during the Iowa-Nebraska game, one of the bands played Runaway Baby.
Yes.
I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
And during that pause, you could hear some Illini fans in, you know, while the Iowa band was playing or whatever. Hey, yeah. How's
oh,
band?
Boy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Standards are low.
Sorry, I cut you off there, Maisie. I didn't mean to take us off track.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. I love it. I was also curious about that, actually.
Yeah.
But regardless, so one thing that I absolutely love about this band is they are the biggest fans for every single sport. They know every single sport. Yeah. I'm just curious. And another joke I always make, I could go to a football game blindfolded and I would know exactly what's happening because of what the band is playing.
Yeah.
Whether we're on offense or defense. How do you get, especially these newcomers, trained to know these sports and know we are playing this, then you have to be ready for that? How does that go?
Yeah, thankfully there's a lot of repetition, right? It's just like running plays for any sport and so forth. But during preseason camp, which is a lot like training camp for all of our athletes, we will actually go to the stadium. We don't get to do it necessarily for basketball, but we do it in our rehearsal hall, and we will go through all of those elements. This is what happens when we score a touchdown. This is what happens when there's a first down, when a referee throws that yellow flag and we play penalty. These are the different types of things that we will play. And maybe just to clarify, I think for some of our fans out there, they said, boy, I wish there was more variety. And I said, I get that. And for a while, we in athletics went down that path to create more variety. But then we kind of came back to a school of thought that I was very much trained in that. And to your point, Maisie, like, you know, when it's a first down that we're going to play mini Oski, a short version of Oski Wow Wow. You know that if it's going to be this down defensively, this is what we're going to play. So I think that's a really important part. That
way the crowd has the Pavlovian response.
Well,
cheer
right?
here.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a lot of that. But we do spend some time teaching our new students. But our current students are just phenomenal teachers of passing on that institutional knowledge.
Okay. So you gave us a little history lesson on the fight song, school song, marches. Now we're going to test you, and
geez.
For a good cause, because you know Illinois songs so well. I'm guessing you know, but do you know, and how quickly can you identify other fight songs?
Ooh, okay.
But we're gonna play. We're gonna do this for a good cause. All right.
Okay.
On the spot.
On the spot.
Yes. Uh-huh. Last episode, Maisie shared about a cause for her roommate who's battling cancer.
Yeah.
And raising money for it.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll put a link here in this one episode also for it. Mm-hmm. But for every answer you get right, we here at Light the Eye will make a donation for this cause.
Pressure's on now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm better if I get them wrong and we can still donate.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to stop you from that.
Okay.
Okay, so I hopefully... See, here's the problem is I don't have them labeled, so...
So he could just say anything?
I could say anything.
I know.
Well, I'm going to know most of them, some of them, but I had them labeled, but the way they went into this player here, so hopefully I recognize what they are. So, but, you know, the quick... Try to buzz in quick.
Okay.
Like, show, you know, show us what you got. Mm-hmm. This is our Name That Fight Song.
Okay, got it.
Can't play this too long.
Yeah, copyright.
All right, this is my fight song, all right? Ready? Name this fight song. I'm going to get the volume up here.
Oh, wait, I think I know.
See, I recognize all these, but I never pay attention to the title.
You know what school?
I know, that's what I'm trying to think.
These are all Big Ten schools.
Yes. I should know this. We play it.
I know that because it was played in my ear so many times at the Rose Bowl. That's USC.
USC?
Right?
Fight on.
Fight USC. On. Yeah.
All right. I actually don't know which ones because I don't have the labels.
I hate that one. Yeah. I've never heard this before.
Maryland. Go Terps gave it away. Sorry.
Go Terps.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's one.
I've never heard that
sound effect. Ever. Ding.
Okay. They must not have ever scored. Sorry. We got jokes.
Again, recognize it.
I recognize it. I don't know.
I know the alternate lyrics to this song.
Yeah.
I cannot share them. I could share them on the podcast.
Nope. Can I put out a wild guess? Northwestern.
There you go.
Yeah. Good one. Good one.
This one,
Indiana.
Got a lot of play this year.
Yep.
That's the worst.
That's
one.
Two. Mm-hmm. Ding. Okay.
It's just not memorable.
They're all in the same key.
They are. Minnesota? No, Penn State. No.
I think it's Rutgers.
Was that Rutgers?
We'll come back to that.
We probably should know.
That probably is. That probably is.
Well, again,
Rutgers.
I don't have it labeled.
Yeah,
there.
I bet that is Rutgers. Oh, geez.
Stop it.
Talk
soon.
About
Michigan.
Repetitive. You'll hear that 100 times.
I know.
Next time we go there. All right.
Okay. Yes. You got it again. It's another $77.
Wisconsin. It was also the fight song of Crone Middle School.
Oh. This is Minnesota.
Because
they have odd phrasing. It doesn't fit within our beat or sequence to get to. We have to extend it.
I think so.
This doesn't sound very Big Ten.
No.
Yeah, a little Hollywood in there.
Yes.
Yep. And there it is. There it is.
It sounds like the Long Way to Tipperary.
Yes.
Six.
That's sounds like some kind of
yeah, it does. ACC. Yeah.
Has to be Washington, Oregon.
It is not Oregon.
I have no idea.
Never heard that in my life.
This is Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should know this one. Got it? There was a point in your life where you might have been hearing this a lot.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
What is it?
Ohio State.
Oh.
So you knew
it. But I know Michigan.
Yeah,
so
I knew right away. Yeah. Michigan State.
There we go.
Good. Take that, Mitch.
Which has the phrase "Be True Blue" in it? I don't know if they had other colors.
But also had some marching bells in there.
I counted up 8 correct.
Okay.
What? $7.70.
Close to the original Big Ten.
Yeah. $7.70 for each correct answer. Times, we will be making a donation. So congratulations, you played for a great cause.
That's a great cause.
Speaking of marches. Give me your favorite Sousa march, and then we'll let you out.
My favorite Sousa. You know what? It's not going to be what people think. I love Hands Across the Sea.
Hmm. That's a good one.
Interesting.
Yep. And part of it's just the message behind that, bringing everybody together.
Huh.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah.
And if he needs to cover his ears, it's fine. Whether it's in the Big Ten or not, what is a marching program, a university marching program, that you really admire?
That's a difficult question.
I'm sure you admire a lot of them. So I'm not saying the one.
I don't know if I do. You know, a program that is, I got to be careful how I say this, because there's a sacrifice to everything in terms of the result that you get, right?
Okay.
So there's philosophical differences of how each of us get to, just like coaching, of the end result we get. So, you know, in looking at that, I think we have a really great culture that develops what we get here. Could we be even more excellent? Probably could, but sometimes we then sacrifice the relationships and the well-being of students and their enjoyment of being in the activity.
You don't want a whiplash movie.
Right, right. a really stellar program that is out there comes to us from the SEC. Auburn University has a phenomenal marching band. When you see what they do in terms of the precision of their drill, what it looks like, some of their show concepts. Now, it's also a program that will do about 3 different halftime shows and not a different halftime show for every game. So that's something for people to think about. We've talked about this a lot, and we know our fans really want to see something different every single game. So that being said, Auburn has some really, really phenomenal things that they create.
And some of the best videos from the stands.
Yes.
At least for a drum guy.
Right onto
the drum line and do their cheers in the stands. And something else.
Well, that makes sense. They got orange and blue in their color scheme.
Well, right. Yeah. No, they're phenomenal. And their director's just a great guy.
Well, I can say this. Amongst the band world, the collegiality is way different than the we want to beat your team stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I was riding.
Than me no longer talking to Maisie because she's going to report on Iowa.
Yes. I was riding down the elevator at the hotel for the Music Bowl.
Yeah.
Music City Bowl. And I so happened to be in the elevator with the director of bands from the University of Tennessee.
Yep.
And he couldn't have spoken better about you and his regard for you. And I know, because I talked to you later, I know that was reciprocal. So it's just a whole different, when you guys actually get together, you're cheering each other on.
Yeah.
And it's even at the Final Fours or Big Ten tournaments and everything.
Oh,
it's,
you know,
band kids. There's a universality to music. And I get goosebumps here just going back to the discussion we had about, you know, does it belong and all that, because and in this era now where we're going to have a giant scoreboard, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the band, because music is so powerful.
Yeah.
Not just for sports, but for a whole thing. We can philosophize about that, but
yeah.
And it is the one thing that sets a college football game apart from a NFL game.
Yep.
Like, yeah. It is such a bit, you know where you're at. You know what it feels like. It feels like a college game because the band is there.
Yeah. It does. And, you know, just the pageantry and tradition that goes with that. It's a pretty – I get asked a lot because people keep looking at this job as like a young person's job. And I'm like, well, geez, what are you saying if you're asking me this? I'm no longer – yeah. So, but, you know, when are you gonna go and become a director of bands or do this? And I'm like, why would I want to do that? Mm-hmm. Like, I get to work with awesome college students. I get to work with, you know, so many people across campus and within athletics. It's a pretty phenomenal job. I feel pretty honored.
And you get to be on Light the Eye.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. We have. And glad we can make it work. I know you have a long walk back to the Harding Band Building. Ooh, and you got to get some student leaders developed here. So we should let you go. Thank you for hanging with us. Really
Thank
do
you.
Appreciate it. And again, in the description for the episode is a link if you'd like to donate as well for a good cause. Yeah. One more. Maisie, thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you for having me.
Don't forget us when you make it big.
Thank you. I'm more concerned about Robert forgetting me for going to Iowa. So
I'll keep him grounded there.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'll get over it.
Good luck, Maisie.
Thanks to our hosts at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. Thanks to our guest, Barry Hauser. For Maisie Garrett, for Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. We'll talk to you again soon. Next time, we light the eye.